News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Good morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. 7 minutes after 8 o'clock, we did have a great time on Saturday. Weather was pretty good, right? Yeah, it was fine.
It was great, yeah.
So we had a great time Saturday in the Joy of Life Parade, which was the tail end of the, basically the floral parade. I happened to be on the U.S. Marine Corps float. Thank you to Tom Claxton. It was great. And like I said, the weather was pretty good. One thing that happened, so when I drove down to the Civic Center, they were happy to take my $10, but they were not exactly instructive on where a spot was.
Really?
So I drove, you know, and I'm not saying I was up and down every lane. It's a little confusing, especially when there's a big crowd there. You don't know, is it a two-lane?
Yeah, you got people turning in,
right,
turning out,
so all that
walking
was
around.
I was trying to get out of all that mess. I ended up on the very tail end of the, behind the Civic Center, more of the working area of the Civic Center, where, you know, the trucks deliver things and stuff like that. And I saw space, but the space was filled with pallets, like Coca-Cola or something like, I don't know what. It was about 12 or 13 pallets and all, but there was a space.
Yeah.
It was not, no sign in front of it, no, you know, for whatever reason, MPD only or handicap space, nothing like that. So I just went ahead and wrestled with those pallets for a while.
Oh, you got out and moved them.
Moved the pallets, tried to get it done before I was found out.
You should have sped into them and just parked over, whichever ones didn't move.
So in any event, that was the beginning of my day. That was not so great, but as it turned out, it was a really beautiful day, and we had a good time in that parade, and I guess it took maybe an hour and a half, 2 hours. I guess it took
us. Oh, yeah, it was way over 2 hours.
Yeah, because we're at the tail end of it. So as the parade began on time at 12 o'clock, which they do begin on time like that, we were still not moving till about 12:30, I guess.
Yeah, and we had a pretty good crew out there. You mentioned you were on the Marine float, and thanks to Tom Claxton and the rest of the Marines for letting FM Talk use that, and the Scuttlebutt Network tag, or I guess sign was up there if you saw them. And then I was about 50, 75 feet ahead of you, with Sean Sullivan in the mobile command unit, as we used our two windows to really let loose, throw some beads and moon pies and footballs out there. But yeah, what a great time, and so good to see so many people out there who recognized the station van and Sean and you and myself. Had a fantastic time.
A lot of fun.
Want to thank Webb Jackson and Joy of Life for everything that they do, and then letting us roll in that parade. So had a great time on Saturday. And then yesterday, another great day of parades. That leads into today's Lundi Gras parades. And then tomorrow, we all do it up big for the final day of the parades, and then into Ash Wednesday on Wednesday.
Did it up so big on Saturday did it up small yesterday, but I took the time to work and just kind of try to, you know, get as much information as I could on what's going on with Ukraine and Russia. A couple of things that you noticed, little footnotes, is that they're holding on in Kyiv and also in their second largest city.
Yeah, and they've had
Kharkiv.
Huge fighting, especially this morning, apparently.
Oh, boy. And then meetings are underway, though. The Ukraine president doesn't see much hope that they're going to do much of anything. But I was really interested and hopeful of the reaction to the European Union's 27-nation block of their airspace to any Russian jets, also giving help to Ukraine right now. Also, Germany making a big pronouncement where they announced that Sunday was committing 100 billion euros to a special armed forces fund and would keep its defense above 2% of the GDP from now on. You know, it takes a kooky guy like Putin to get Germany to react like our former President Trump was saying they should have been reacting the whole time, and pull your own weight.
Something very recently clicked with Germany, and I mean very recently, because they were so hesitant to get involved, and most likely because of their reliance on Russia for energy,
yep,
that remember they at least initially said they would send 5,000 helmets to Ukraine. That was going to be their big way to help. And they didn't even send them until here and over the weekend they finally sent those helmets. But now they're talking about less reliance on Russia, and they're going to hopefully build more nuclear reactors for nuclear power in Germany. And it seems like they're willing to pony up a little bit more to be involved with NATO and the rest of the world in fighting against Putin, using whatever we have, sanctions or however we can fight him without putting actual troops on the ground.
Yeah, Scholz was talking about the 100 billion euro fund was currently a one-time measure for 2022. It wasn't immediately clear whether similar funding would be allocated in future years, but he indicated that Germany will exceed the 2% of GDP threshold going forward. That's good news. Also, earlier in the day, Germany announced another major shift in policy, saying, you were talking about the helmets, right? Like, oh, thanks for that.
Yeah.
It's going to send weapons and other supplies directly to Ukraine, including 500 Stinger missiles, which are used to shoot down helicopters and warplanes, and 1,000 anti-tank weapons. Now, how quickly they're going to do this, and isn't it getting a little tougher to get anything into Ukraine at this point, because the Russians kind of surrounding the major cities as they are right now.
Yeah, and but believe it or not, you know, you would assume, and people have said, that Russia would have complete air superiority, and they thought that they'd be able to knock out the Ukraine air defense systems quickly, yeah,
yep.
And like Thursday and Friday. But that apparently has not completely gone to plan for Russia, as they're still having trouble getting their planes to have free clearance above the skies of Ukraine. And so far, Ukrainian people are putting up a heck of a fight.
Incredible. Is there any way that the Russians retreat?
Well, one thing about...
And he is facing a little pressure at home, I think, right now, talking about Putin, which in a dictatorship, you know, yeah, whatever.
And they're also doing their best to lock down social media. They're trying to limit YouTube and Twitter so that the Russian people don't start to feel like they've completely failed so far.
And those are young Russian lives on the front line.
Yeah.
And so you could have families saying, what's this all about?
The thing about... And in this new age of warfare, you would expect that we would have more content, more on-the-ground journalism. Everyone has a self... We're not talking about, you know, rural parts of Iraq here.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about real cities that, while they're not quite America... I mean, those subway stations that those people have been hiding in, they're so beautiful, so clean, well taken care of. The neighborhood, the cities, I mean, this is a modern place, Ukraine. Yeah. So you would expect all kinds of battlefield video to be coming out. And while there has been a lot of video from on the ground in Kiev, and you see a lot of burned out tanks and instances of recent fighting, but you're not seeing a lot of ground, you know, action right now. And I'm not exactly sure why that is. And what you're finding, or at least what I'm finding, is in the fog of war, even with all of the cameras and phones available to us now, it is so difficult to really know what's going on. And so much of that is sure coming out of, you know, Russian propaganda. And then you also have the pro-Ukrainian propaganda.
Mm-hmm.
And whether you're talking about some of these war heroes in the making, the Ghost of Kiev we were talking about at the end of last week, there's another Ukrainian soldier who they said has taken down at least 20 Russians on his own. You don't know if those stories are true.
Yeah.
Or if they're put out there to boost the morale of Ukrainian people.
Meant to inspire, right?
I'm surprised that it's so difficult to get a minute-by-minute or even hour-by-hour accounting of what exactly is happening over there.
Yeah, maybe that's going to change a little bit, but that's a good point, Dalton. And that's what I was trying to wrestle with yesterday. Not just the information, the credibility of the person giving the information, but there seemed to be a tone of hopefulness over the weekend with the way Europe was responding, trying to help out Ukraine, right? 16 minutes after 8 o'clock, FM Talk 106.5. Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings at 8:21. Yeah, it looks good out there. It's going to be sunny today. It's going to be a nice day downtown.
Yeah,
it
should be a perfect day, and tomorrow looking good as well. Fat Tuesday, and... you know, I've got my own complaints about childcare around here these days. Lundy Graw through Ash Wednesday.
Talking about the...
I mean,
child care not open on those days?
It's wild. I don't know how parents have been able to take care of this week for so many years, but my wife and I are trying to figure that out right now. Tomorrow morning, we will be in, at least for most of the morning, and Senator Tommy Tuberville joining us on Mobile Mornings right around 7:40 tomorrow morning to talk some, believe it or not, about Fat Tuesday, also what's going on in Ukraine, and the State of the Union coming up tomorrow night for President Joe Biden. So we'll get Tuberville's thoughts on a lot of that tomorrow morning.
All right. So I was just staring at the TV yesterday, trying to, as everything was changing constantly over the weekend in Ukraine. I talked about that Saturday morning, that young lady who was a mother of several kids, and the little baby was in her arms, and she was in a shelter, and she was talking live with Fox, and it was so compelling.
That one really stuck with you, didn't it? I heard you and Sean talking about it Saturday.
I'm telling you.
You both saw it.
It was, she was very articulate because she is a, you got to remember, this is like a big, beautiful city. So you have people that visit, and it's a democratically run, you know, country. It's not Russia.
It's supposed to be a democratically. They've had their issues.
They've had their issues, but it's a whole lot more like they aspire to be like more like the West, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And so you have people that actually visit there. Like we talked to Rob Holbert, and he said, "Oh, I've been to Kyiv." It's like, wow, really? So she is a tour guide in the town, but what she had to say about how resolute the citizens were. Her husband was off to fight, and. She had these. There was nothing weak about her conversation or her presentation of her thoughts. It was pretty impressive. Now, yesterday on Sunday morning's Futures, I saw a former Pentagon Chief of Staff, Kash Patel. He kind of gave it to Biden for his, he called it a colossal failure of leadership after reports surfaced. He shared intelligence on the potential U.S. response to Russian aggression with China.
Mm.
And then he said, hey, by the way, don't tell Russia. Well, what did Russia do? Or what did China do, rather?
They told Russia?
Yep-er. Hmm. So he was on Sunday Morning Futures, and this is a little bit more of what he had to say. If, in fact, Biden and the administration shared information that was very sensitive about how they were going to respond to Russia with China, and China did, in fact, turn around and tell Russia everything we were going to do.
The fact that the commander-in-chief wouldn't answer that question that no one is covering leads me to believe that he took classified intelligence, and the reporting is accurate now from multiple sources, and handed it over to our world's biggest enemy, U.S.'s biggest enemy, China. And then, of course, China was going to turn around and give it to Russia because Xi Jinping and Putin have paired up and teamed up against the United States of America. The fact that this commander-in-chief did not know that was going to happen is outrageous.
How many nations out there are giving Russia a pass on this? China, for sure.
Belarus,
you know, they're, I guess.
A lot of their allies that are around there. And Belarus supposedly today, and maybe already, getting involved with their own soldiers. You know, Russians were already crossing through
Belarus.
Belarus to get mm-hmm. into the Ukrainian border above Kyiv. But now it appears the Belarusian soldiers also going to get involved. But China, I mean, North Korea, Iran, probably pro-Russia in this instance. I mean, you see the teams gathering, and they've been gathering for a while now.
Speaking of teams, you've seen games, football games, and I hate to compare this to that, obviously, but just to make a point, teams come out flat. Maybe their big game was last week or whatever. They're not ready. They're not inspired. If the Russians to this point have shown a lack of inspiration in this war, like maybe we know what Putin wants done, but the soldiers themselves, if their heart's not in it 110%, if they kind of think, what are we doing here, mm-hmm. destroying these cities and doing this to people who are almost our brothers and sisters? I don't know. Some of that may be mixed into what the results have been so far.
Yeah, and you have to take that into account, right? Because so many people were saying Russia will just wipe them off the map. And Jim Cramer, Mad Money, who he's been very wrong about a lot of things lately. He thought Russia would get it done in 2 hours, he said last week. But what you don't take into account is exactly what you were saying. The overall morale, but more than that, the will of the people and the grit. I mean, when you have one side who are lining up grandmas and putting, automatic weapons in their hands and handing out RPGs to the citizenry who have all been conscripted at some point. They've all fired weapons, or for the most part, unless they have something majorly wrong with them. And Russia, from what all I've read, I think Putin was thinking that these Ukrainians had been, you know, dying to be part of Russia, and that when the Russian soldiers crossed over, that they would just, the quote I read was, hand them flowers and basically kneel before these Russian soldiers and say, yeah, we're glad you're taking our country back in, and we're glad to be Russians. That is not what the Ukrainian people have done.
Not at all.
There's actually a fantastic article out there from, I think it came out yesterday, and it's Fox News, Putin's strategic failure and miscalculations play out on the world stage. The big question is the Russian army, has it been overrated from all of these years of Putin trying to show strength? And we've seen a lot of these battles, whether it's Russian separatists, you know, what we saw go on in Crimea, and then other parts of Europe where they've had Russian-backed separatists. They won't outright say that they're Russian. But I think a lot of people thought Russia would just kind of, you know, smooth sailing through here. That's not what we're seeing, though. In this article I was telling you about, Russia's military is roughly 4.5 times larger than Ukraine's active duty force, but Ukrainians are still holding their capital city of Kiev, along with some of these other cities where there have been massive fighting. Russian soldiers, from the article, have appeared poorly equipped, and reports have surfaced suggesting troops were forced to forage for food and supplies in Ukrainian towns, a move that has surprised Western onlookers. Michael Ryan is the Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Europe and NATO. He said they've been out in the field for a very long time, in the wintertime, which takes its toll. Because all those weeks where we were talking about the troop buildup along those borders, well, it's not like they were sitting in warm homes eating fully cooked meals. You know, it's the 150,000 troops have been out there for a long time and maybe tired and hungry. They said in the Russian army, just like in the Soviet army and then Russian armies historically, junior soldiers are treated very badly. They use a very, he said, it is a consistent mentality at every level in the Russian ranks. They use a very strict discipline that's enforced by very severe punishments in order to maintain cohesion of a fighting force. So he compares that to the American military. He says, when you go out into combat, it requires initiative and understanding on the part of your soldiers to achieve the objectives against difficult odds, and that the Russians just don't have that mindset.
You got to be into it, is what he's saying, right?
Exactly. He said they don't have that training. So they've been beat down, you know, from their superiors. That's just the way that the Russians have worked for years and years and years. So it's almost like instead of putting out a good hunting dog who you treat really nicely, you know, he sleeps in the house with you.
He's ready to go.
He loves you. He's creative. And they're putting out a bunch of beaten dogs who they know their job, but, you know, maybe the will isn't there.
Where's the manufacturer and who are they? What did they normally produce that are now creating the Molotov cocktails?
Yeah, so there's a Russian brewery, and there's a big story out there about how, you know, everyone is taking up arms. I talked about some of the their most known athletes. We've discussed the Klitschko brothers, Vitaly, who's the mayor of Kiev, and Vladimir, his brother, both fighting for Kiev and for Ukraine. Well, now you have Vitaly Lomachenko, who is, I mean, he was a champion, a lightweight champion. He's got a championship fight coming up in June. Well, he arrived back home on Saturday, his home of Odessa, Ukraine, to be with his family, and he's fighting as well.
Flew in to Ukraine.
Yeah, he found a way in, and now he's going to fight on behalf of his people. It's, if anything, the Ukrainian people have shown the rest of the world what it's like to fight back against a tyrant like this, and what kind of stones they actually have.
And what it's like to really love your country.
Yeah.
830 FM Talk 106.5.
Thank you, Kane. 835 on FM Talk 106.5 on this Lundi Gras Mobile Mornings. Right now, time to head to McConnell Automotive and talk with Louis Arata. Hey, Louis.
Good morning, guys, and happy Mardi Gras.
Hey, happy Mardi Gras to you and everyone else at McConnell Automotive. Let us know the hours for this week. Has anything changed? But I know what never changes, and, well, it changes, I should say, but it's never down. The website, McConnellAutomotive.com, even if the dealership is technically closed, you can always go on the website.
That's right, and of course, we're going to be closed tomorrow. We'll let everybody go down and participate in Mardi Gras. I'm not sure which we're participating in. You know, GMC truck. Maybe next year we'll be able to do that. But we got the 22 Corvette in. I know we've got a few hits on the website on it. Anybody wants to come look at it, it's in the showroom. So You can come look at it. It is a beautiful car. I'm going to tell you that. We've got plenty of GM certifieds here. We've been buying a few GM certified cars. So we also have some luxury cars. Got an Audi and some Infinities, Lexus, Mercedes. So y'all come check those out. Or y'all can check those out, like you said, online at McConnell Automotive. We're going to be closed tomorrow. But y'all check all that stuff online. And if you got any questions, give us a call, 251-476-4141. And y'all be careful out there. We'll be here.
Well said, Louis. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
That's Louis Arata. Go see him at McConnell Automotive on Dauphin Street, just east of I-65, and online, McConnellAutomotive.com. Lots of texts coming in here, and Shirley telling me I need to listen to something, and I agree, Shirley. She said, I know you were involved in Mardi Gras activities, so I know you didn't hear Bill Finch's show Saturday. Well, Bill's show, Plain Gardening, comes on Sunday, but she said you missed a wonderful hour or more. He played many Ukrainian folk songs, delightfully different, and Bill Finch yesterday showing his love for Ukraine, or showing a little respect there by playing some Ukrainian folk songs. Yeah, I've actually heard from several people that I need to go back and listen to the Plain Gardening show from yesterday, which anyone can go back and listen to on our website, fmtalk1065.com, or anywhere else you get you can get podcasts, the Bill Finch show, Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast, on there. Travis says, guys, my guess on the lack of hour-to-hour accounts is one side waiting for the other to report to counter the propaganda. And he said, also, Joe Biden will have a really hard time convincing Americans to send in troops if we ever needed to, when he won't do what he needs to do, like unchain our domestic energy economy. And we have some audio on that coming up in just a bit. Dave from Gulf Shores has been on absolute fire this morning. Some great links you've been sending, Dave, and I really appreciate that. I think Dan does as well.
Mm-hmm.
We've been having some back and forth here. He said, the Snake Island. So did you hear that story? It was one of the first to come out of Ukraine, that Snake Island, just south, I think it's by Odessa, right? That they had the Russians pull up on them, and they were like, it's a very, very small island. And I think 12 or 13 Ukrainian military men on that island, and they basically told the Russians, who said, you know, that they were about to hit them, they said, blank off, right? Mm-hmm. And then the word was that after they said blank off, that they were bombed and that all of them died on that island. Well, now the news is coming in that they might not necessarily be dead, but instead prisoners of war. And that's one of the links that Dave sent in this morning. He said there's this website called Pravda, pravda.com.ua, and they have a lot of this news from the front line, and it's not stuff we're getting on Fox News or CNN or even BBC, which I've been checking out more recently lately. Didn't even know I had the channel, and watching a little bit of their flavor of the news as well.
Oh, you have it on your cable system.
On the YouTube TV.
Okay.
Yeah, so they've got BBC, and for a little bit of a different angle. But how about that news? If those men that were on Snake Island are actually still alive. Or I can't remember if it was Snake Island that they were on, but whichever island that was, pretty impressive. Another person here texting that a pro-tennis Ukrainian is also returning to fight for his country. So you have these guys who have made millions and millions and millions of dollars playing the sports they love, whether it's boxing or tennis, or we've seen a couple different others, and they're returning. They don't have to return.
No.
And and you think of Zelensky and the Klitschko brothers, they could just as easily leave Ukraine.
We gave them the opportunity.
Maybe not anymore, but they could have left.
Yeah, we gave the mayor the opportunity, or the president the opportunity to leave, and he said, "No, I'm going to stay here with my people, and we're going to be strong."
For a fun game, think about if this was happening to America, if we had an all hands on deck situation.
This is a real fun game.
If we were okay, not fun. But what celebrities would stick around? What athletes, American athletes, instead of bolting to Canada or Mexico, let's just say those two countries were safe and the US was not. Do you think LeBron James, you think he would stick around, you know, that he'd go pick up an AR or whatever other weapons were available? Do you think LeBron James would be chucking Molotov cocktails at whoever decided to invade the U.S.? It's something else what we're seeing out of these Ukrainian people. I know we do have athletes, and we did during the World War. that are willing to get out there and show what they've got. But how many of our celebrities and athletes would actually take up arms? I don't think very many of them.
You know what? And how about Ted Williams, the greatest baseball hitter of all time, was among the best pilots of all time during World War II.
I guess it's that eyesight, right?
He took planes out and was an amazing pilot and fighter pilot. He wasn't getting people from point A to point B. He was in the middle of warfare and was a great asset to the United States and was a baseball hero, let alone just somebody who played on a team. Ted Williams, you're right. He had the great eyesight. Like sometimes the ball would go by him and the umpire would say, "What'd you see there, Ted? What should I call?"
Who was the you don't see it very often anymore. Was it Glenn Coffey who played at Alabama?
Yeah,
and then
from Pensacola, I think.
I think you're right. And then he was in the NFL. I actually saw him play a preseason game. I think he was on the Niners. And I was able to go to the Dallas Stadium right when it opened that year and went to one of the first preseason games. And Glenn Coffey was playing then. And then he just, I think he gave it all up and he went and joined the Army at some point.
Wow. I knew he gave it up. Yeah. I didn't know he did that.
Yeah. You don't see that happen very often anymore. Of course, you have Pat Tillman, someone texting in right now.
Yeah.
Remember him from the Cardinals. And he wasn't very well known. Well, I mean, sports fans knew of him well, and people that followed his school that I can't remember where he played college.
Arizona State.
So the Arizonans know him well, but
he was a big inspiration to Zach. Tillman was a hero, and just tragic the way he died, and then the cover up that followed. By the way, Barry Moore, our congressman, has had the opportunity to meet with those from Ukraine. I think it was a few months back, his duty at Congress took him to Ukraine. Here's his recollection of the people.
I say this, the Ukrainian people are tough, and I met with some pretty hardened soldiers, some reserves, and some active duty people who, I can tell you, they're tough, and they would be a formidable force. Russia won't have an easy go of it, but it's going to be tough on both sides.
You go, Barry Moore, Friday on the Jeff Poor Show.
Backstrap Stacker says, you have celebs vowing to leave over an election. They will run as fast as they can to get away. And I think I agree with you, Backstrap Stacker. I think some of these most outspoken people would certainly not stick around if they had the option to leave, if this came to America's shores.
Wow.
And I also noticed and saw some people commenting that, you know, a lot of the Democrats not really saying a whole lot about the Ukrainian people all being armed, you know? You're seeing a lot of support for Ukraine, which, you know, that's a good thing to show the support. But the disconnect there for why Americans may want to be armed and use those Second Amendment rights and what's literally happening right now in Ukraine where they passed out, you know, anything from pistols to rocket-propelled grenade launchers to their citizenry. And the Democrats, it was at Occupy Democrats on Twitter, where once they started passing those weapons out to the Ukrainians, they said, hooray, the Ukrainian government making sure everyone is armed for this Russian invasion. And then literally like the next day, we're saying why the American Second Amendment needs to be needs to be withdrawn some, pulled back some, completely not seeing
the connection
connection there.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny when you think about that. Dave from Gulf Shores, Rocky Blyer.
Rocky Blyer, Vietnam War, played for the Steelers. Yeah. Running back for Pittsburgh, played at Notre Dame.
That's a big one, too. And Audie Murphy, someone else, Gary, putting in there. So we have, over the years, especially that greatest generation sent a lot of our biggest and best athletes off to war. We're even if we're only two or three generations beyond that, it just doesn't seem like we have the same people in our sports. Although Villanueva, the big tackle for Pittsburgh.
Yep.
I mean, there are a lot of guys, a lot of military men and supporters in a lot of our sports, but I think some of the bigger names probably wouldn't stick around.
Yeah, you're probably right about that. And we've never had that kind of challenge on our shores. You know, it's when it's go time or when it's crunch time. Do we really know how any of us would act? Now we have an idea how certain people would act or a certain segment of society what they would do, but these people are facing this straight on. And I mean, they're watching their cities, if not get completely destroyed, certainly be compensated, compromised.
Yeah.
You know, it's got to be heartbreaking. But instead of, oh, you know, this is such a sad thing, they're taking up arms and they're saying, heck no, not in my neighborhood. Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. It's 8:51, 9 away from 9 o'clock. We're followed, of course, by the Jeff Poor Show, beginning a little after 9 o'clock today.
Yeah, and Jeff's got some guests lined up for today's show. As still a lot going on in Montgomery as the legislature continues to work. And he'll be talking first with State Representative Terry Collins coming up in the second segment of the show. Also, columnist Steve Flowers, Congressman Jerry Carl at 10 o'clock.
Mm.
You won't want to miss that one. And then at 11:30, Dale Jackson from WVNN will be on with Jeff for his usual Monday spot. So looking forward to a great Jeff Poor Show coming up in just a few minutes.
Phone lines are active as well as the text line. We've got David from Mobile right now. Wants to talk a little bit about Ukraine. Good morning, David.
Morning, guys. Yeah, Jeff needs to ask Dale Jackson if he would be crazy enough to pick up a landmine to move it so that his army could go and attack the enemy.
Good. Okay.
Do you think? I don't know.
I'll pass that along.
I mean, that's a crazy kind of love of freedom that you would be willing to pick up a landmine. A civilian would be willing to pick up a landmine and move it so that his army could go and attack the enemy, like that Ukrainian guy did in the video clip that I sent Dalton over the weekend. That was crazy.
It's amazing. But, it's amazing what we've seen, right?
And you also have the guy that was standing in front of the Russian tanks.
Yeah.
And they ended up diverting, having to move around him. And the guy that blew himself up on the bridge just to cut that line of travel for the Russians. Some real stories of heroism coming out of there.
Yes, and especially the real question isn't, Dalton, what number of our celebrities or athletes would come take up arms against an enemy if it was here in the United States. The real question is, how many of our beauty queens would become citizen soldiers if we were attacked?
Yeah, because you have the Ukrainian, what is she, Miss Ukraine, that's fighting for them?
Yeah.
That's something else. I'm sure we'd have some beauty queens that were ready to go. Do you think The Rock, would The Rock take up arms if he had to?
Rock would take up arms.
What about Kevin Hart?
Kevin Hart would be an arm.
Yeah.
We would just throw Kevin Hart at a tank.
That's right.
You could do that with Kevin Hart. And real quickly, one more call is...
John in Mobile.
John, thank you.
Hey, John.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Listen, one of the things that's got to be brought out is everything that Biden is doing with the green energy crap is funding this war, because the way Putin finances the war is high oil prices.
Mm-hmm.
And I see President Potato Head is saying now he's not going to lift any restrictions on domestic production.
Yeah.
So that's just going to keep driving it higher and funding Putin.
Yeah, they're digging in on this green energy, even in the midst of this, but I had no expectations, thank you, John, that he was going to reverse course on something he did so publicly on day one.
Yeah, because, you know, politics is obviously playing into this the whole way through, and the people that voted for him, especially the far left, are already upset enough that they didn't get their Build Back Better bill through. If he starts doing away with some of the environmental restrictions that he placed on our drilling and fracking and everything, then he would really lose the far left. And then, you know, you look at the latest poll from ABC News, and he's at a 37% approval rating. You would only see that drop even further, because the 37% who are still sticking around, I mean, why else would you be sticking around unless the reason you like Biden is because of some of these extreme left policies that he has?
You know, just... not as advertised. I'll say that. You know, I'm going to bring everybody together. I'm going to be the moderate. I've been doing this a long time. I understand right from wrong. And that's not, you know, this guy's 79 years old. And in a way, he's kind of changed his stripes because he was more of a moderate. But as the Democratic Party's got more and more very left-leaning, elected officials.
He has shifted with them.
He's gone with them.
And so speaking of that, and to get for just a moment off of the Ukrainian thing, the Ukraine crisis, is the announcement of the Supreme Court justice nominee came in Friday. And traditionally, Friday is what we call a news dump day for the most part, but especially if it comes afternoon, because people are tired of the cycle. They're thinking about what they're going to do Friday night and the rest of the weekend. And whatever news, usually if you have bad news, that's when you want to put it out, because there will be less discussion of it over the weekend than there would be in the week. And that's when his, not only did it come out on a Friday, his highly, you know, this was a big damn deal for a lot of people.
It was. I mean, he certainly wanted it to be very celebrated.
Yeah.
First black woman that could possibly be nominated, that could be voted in to the Supreme Court.
And he has to tell everyone who it is on a Friday during a
Russian invasion of Ukraine. Yeah.
And, you know, a whole lot of other things going on that people just, I think it made it right past most people. But I think they were kind of in a corner here with this because, well, he has to get it done before the midterms, right? He has to try to get this justice nominee through because they might lose it. They might lose the ability, if the Republicans win back the House and the Senate, then they might lose that ability to even get their candidate in. But on top of that, I think he had to do it before his State of the Union address tomorrow night, because a big part of the State of the Union, and if you can believe that it's only been 1 year. This is his first State of the Union. Hmm. But you have to tout what you've done, right? What all could Biden possibly tout? Is he going to say, hey, yeah, we've known what the Russians were doing every step of the way. Okay, and what'd you do about it? Well, we told everyone what the Russians were doing. Our intelligence seems to be a win right now for what's going on in Russia, but did we leverage that properly? I guess only if you know what's going on in the back channels would you know that. But he doesn't have a whole lot of wins to point to tomorrow night, so I think that's why they went ahead and said who this Supreme Court justice nominee is. He'll be able to discuss that tomorrow, along with they're going to take credit for, quote-unquote, ending the pandemic, I'm sure, now that we've seen lower and lower numbers after Omicron. But, yeah, the State of the Union tomorrow night, I'm not sure how many wins he'll be able to point to.
Okay, so we know what happened in Afghanistan. Will that even be brought up? Will he put lipstick on that pig and try to call that something that they accomplished?
No way. He might. He might say, I said we were going to get out of there.
A 20-year war.
Yeah,
right?
I could see that.
What else could he possibly try to spin into his column as a win? I don't know. At this moment in time, will he brag on shutting down the
pipeline,
the Keystone pipeline? If this hadn't happened now you've got gas prices through the roof. Now you have this dependency on Russia and oil, and there's a war in Russia has invaded Ukraine. So that I don't think he could, in his right mind, talk about that as some sort of a check mark. Give me a gold star for that. No,
it would be a bad idea, I think, for his speechwriters to bring up either Afghanistan or our dependence on Russian oil,
or
to talk about renewable energy with all of this going on.
No,
I mean, you're talking about a long term plan.
Yeah, exactly.
For something that we need a solution for in the next, very short term.
You called it, man. That's exactly what's happening here. 859 FM Talk 106.5. Jeff Porcheau is on the way next. Dan and Dalton tomorrow will be here starting at 6 a.m.